And that was done without any Republican help. I am determined that stringent economy shall govern all peacetime operations of the government. When the several departments and agencies were called upon a few months ago to submit their requests for funds for the coming fiscal year, they were told of my determination. They responded by eliminating many of their former activities. This was not enough. When the estimates were in, I went over them, making further substantial reductions. When I finished, these department estimates had been reduced by a total of some $7 billion under their original level. I was warned by some that I was going too far. I was aware of the risk, but I was aware too of the greater risk of a weakened post-war financial structure. I knew that in the public interest, sacrifices of some government services had to be made. The result was a budget of $37.5 billion. That figure marked the borderline beyond which we could not reduce the activities of our government without entering the area of false economy. In other words, further so-called economies would not have been economies at all. They would merely have meant curtailment of services that would cost our taxpayers, all taxpayers, more than the reduction in cost that appeared on the surface. You, my fellow citizens, are properly cautious of false economy in your daily lives. If the foundation of your house needs repair, or if the roof leaks, you know that you are wasting money and not saving it by failing to make that repair. So with government, if we abandon our work of reclamation, of soil conservation, of preserving our forests, of developing our water resources, we are wasting money, not saving it. If we cease our vigilance along the borders of our country and at our ports of entry, we are wasting money, not saving it. If we falsely economize by reducing the staff of men and women who audit tax returns or who increase the country's productivity by settling labor disputes, we are wasting money, not saving it. If we cut down the effectiveness of our armed forces, we run the risk of wasting both money and lives. Any substantial reduction of the 1948 federal budget, as submitted to the Congress, must be clearly understood by the American people as a venture into false economy. To the extent that we countenance any such reduction, we shall weaken our own house by our refusal to keep it in basic repair. At best, this is poor judgment. At worst, it is an invitation to disaster. The second decision we must make, affecting the strength and health of our economy, concerns the public debt. We must resolve to begin the long process of reducing that debt, which represents a large part of the cost of winning World War II. That debt amounts to almost $2,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. In deciding whether we shall start substantial payment on the debt or whether we shall reduce taxes instead, we are deciding a question which will affect the future of every one of us. Our decision will affect the number of jobs in the future, the wages men and women will earn, what those wages will buy, and how much our savings, our insurance, and our bonds will be worth. We as a nation are now having prosperous years. This is the time when we will start paying off the debt in earnest. When a man is earning good wages and at the same time owes a lot of money, he is wise if he uses his excess income to pay off his debts. He would be short-sighted if he cut his income just because he was not spending it all at the moment. When the people, through their government, owe a lot of money, as we do today, it is the course of wisdom to make payment on our debt. It would be extremely short-sighted to cut down the federal revenue without making a real effort toward debt reduction. I recognize, frankly, that the present burden of taxation on our people is too heavy to be considered as permanent. And at a proper time, I will support tax reduction and tax readjustment designed to reduce the burden and to adjust that burden to the needs of a peacetime economy. In further evaluating the strength of our domestic economy, I must express to you my deep concern over the level of prices prevailing today. A system of free enterprise does not automatically work out its own adjustments without our giving thought to the process. The main factor that can weaken our economy at this time is our own selfishness, the kind of selfishness which is now expressed in the form of unnecessarily high prices for many commodities and for many manufactured articles. These prices must be brought down if our entire economy is not to suffer. With the exception of a very few items, all price controls have been removed. But freedom from such controls, like other freedoms, cannot be abused with impunity. A profound moral responsibility rests upon those citizens whose decisions have widespread effect on our markets. To put it simply, the responsibility of playing fair, of not going whole hog for profits. The alternative is inflation. Industry priced out of the market, and eventually men priced out of their jobs. The world today looks to us for leadership. The force of events makes it necessary that we assume that role. This is a critical period in our national life. The process of adapting ourselves to the new concept of our world responsibility is naturally a difficult and painful one. The cost is necessarily great. It is not our nature to shirk our obligations. We have a heritage that constitutes the greatest resource of this nation. I call it the spirit and character of the American people. We are the people who gave the world George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, and Franklin D. Roosevelt. We are a people who not only cherish freedom and defend it, if need be, with our lives, but we also recognize the right of other men and other nations to share it. While the struggle for the rights of man goes forward in other parts of the world, the free people of America cannot look on with easy detachment, with indifference to the outcome. In our effort to make permanent the peace of the world, we have much to preserve, much to improve, and much to pioneer. As we strive to reach the fulfillment of our quest, we will do well to recall the words of Thomas Jefferson. I have sworn upon the altar of God, eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Bravo.
You have heard President Harry S. Truman addressing the annual Jefferson Day dinner from the Mayflower Hotel in Washington.
Grand Ole Opry, sponsored by the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, will be heard next week at its usual time. We take you now to Chicago.